Well, we finished last week by encouraging this church to be those people, disciplined ones, that rise up against offences and unbelief and especially unforgiveness. And we touched in on that the week before last, if you remember rightly. We're into a bit of a topic. And Jesus said that by this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. That's right. He said that. All men will know you're my disciples. In other words, you're my disciplined ones if you have love one for another. Very, very important truth. How well we dwell together in unity is through the disciplines of harmony. It's important because in the place of unity, God promises to command blessing. In the place of unity, God promises to command blessing. So that's something that we do together. Amen? Isn't that right? That's something that we do together. There's disciplines to harmony that we all have to apply ourselves to. And there's quite the value in that as we apply ourselves to it. Is it the open heaven experience where we just, again, begin to experience the Lord in our midst, doing things that we couldn't do if we tried 100 times over. But he can do it in a moment and do it in a suddenly. You know, our last message, we saw how prayer is hindered by unforgiveness that we hold toward others. We saw that. We looked at that. In fact, Jesus taught that if we cannot forgive others, God cannot forgive us. We saw that truth and that principle. Let's just recap a little bit so that we can see something that needs to be seen here. In Mark 11, Jesus comes by the fig tree, has no fruit on it, and he curses it. Well, soon after, we see the result. And of course, the disciples did. You know, it worked much better than a bottle of Zero. It worked really quickly. And of course, we see in Mark 11, in verse 25, and in the morning, that was how quick it was. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto them, Teacher, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus, answering him, said unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he said. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you shall have them. Great message. Love to launch off into a teaching on faith at that point, but that's not where we're going today. Here's the faith lesson. That's where the faith lesson was. But Jesus now goes on to the foundation of faith. Well worth just taking notice of this. Jesus now goes on to the foundation of faith because faith is built on love. Think about that. Probably get a little bit of revelation there thinking about that. Look what it says. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Very clear there. Here is the love lesson from Jesus. If we go back over there into Matthew and verse 25, Mark and verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against any. Any is everyone. Any means everyone. Forgive if you have anything against any, that your Father also is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Well, our own treatment of trespasses and the way we treat trespasses in our life is very important. It's essential to having an effective prayer life is actually dealing with trespasses. Who hasn't had trespasses? I'll give you a real fresh one. So there we are. We've just arrived in Perth, Rosemary and I. We've just had a 3-day trip down to Perth. And, of course, it's been lovely spending some time together with Rosemary and in the car chatting and talking. And as we drove into Perth and we're heading for our accommodation, we said, why don't we, because we came up through Marmion, from basically all the way from Launceston, I think is all, you know, you can come into Perth. And we said, why don't we go up into the street where we used to live? When we were first married, just romantic moments. So when we were first married, let's just go up and see if the house is still there that we lived in, you know, when we were first married. And it was such a blessing to us, that house, right on the beach and overlooking the ocean. And so we drove up into the street and, of course, got up to the got up to where was an empty block, and we thought, oh, they've knocked it down. Oh, that's right, they've knocked it down now. And then Rosemary's saying, no, hang on a minute, that's not it, because that's that house, no, it wasn't that close to this one. And so we're sort of orientating. I'm kind of just pulled up on the side of the road. But then I say to her, actually, that's the house. Well, it's got a new house on it now, the same block. And we looked at the number. But as we're sort of looking around and being real country folk, I hadn't put my indicator on. And a guy pops up from behind me. And of course, what I didn't know, I looked in my rear vision mirror, was that he was waiting to see what I was going to do. So I put my indicator on to take off, and he kind of stopped sort of beside me. But I really should have had, you know, my left indicator on, but I took the right indicator. So I made a mess of it. I did wrong, okay? that's two times this year. And so anyway, instead of reading the play and just going around, because I'm stopped, I'm not going anywhere, I'm now stopped, I'm stationary, this guy pulls up beside me, and you know how when you do the wrong thing on the road, you kind of lift your hand up and go, oh, sorry, you know? I'm going, oh, sorry, you know, like this. And this guy pulls up beside me and gives me the death stare. Do you know the death stare? And the funny thing was that I was, you know, oh, sorry, until I got the death stare. As soon as I got the death stare, I went, excuse me? I kind of, my demeanour changed, and I went, what do you want? You know, like this, I'm sort of starting, you know, what are you just staring at me for, sort of thing. He was obviously making the point that I had messed up on the side of the road there, and I didn't have my right indicator on or my left indicator on, and have no indicators on. So in other words, you know, there was a moment, but I tell you what, my blood started to boil straight away. I don't know why that was, but it did. It started to boil. It was no longer simmering. It was boiling, you know, and I think he saw the look on my face and then decided to move on. But you know what? There was a moment straight away where I was either going to get offended or was ever going to forgive. And I had to forgive. Amen? Don't we all? He had to forgive me and I had to forgive him. We'd both actually done something wrong. It's a very interesting thing. And of course, that process, because how many of you know we've got a flesh that wants to rise up? All of us have got a flesh that wants to rise up. And all of us have got a flesh that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be kept under. Someone said 6 foot under, face down. So that if it tries to dig itself out, it only digs itself deeper. That's the old man that needs to be kept dead and buried. Amen? And it is, you know, unexpected moment where I thought, you want some? You know, that's what I'm having this moment with the guy. But, you know, look what it says in Galatians 5:6. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Great scripture. Paul makes it so clear for us to get this. In Christ, being a Jew or not a Jew doesn't matter. In Christ Jesus, faith works through love, forgiveness. And God wants us to get that part right. We saw that in Matthew 11:25. God wants us to get that part very right. A lack of love is seen in our unforgiveness. Amen? It's seen in our unforgiveness toward others, which is a certain offspring of offense. Who hasn't been offended? Who has been offended? All hands should go up. We've all been offended at some time or one other, or, you know, one place, or we might even be carrying some offense at the moment because we didn't deal with it. We still haven't forgiven that. But offenses need to be dealt with because they come from unforgiveness. And of course, it's a bad place to be. We first need his forgiveness for our unforgiveness. You know, we need to go to God. And, you know, we cannot go to God in prayer. We cannot stand in his presence with unforgiveness in our heart. That's really the teaching of Matthew 11:25. But we, you know, if we won't forgive the sins of others, he can't forgive us our sins. I don't know about you, but I need his forgiveness. I need to be able to receive that. We all do. We all come with imperfection. We all come with faults. We all come with confusion and many other human frailties. But don't come with unforgiveness. that's the message. Don't come with unforgiveness. You have to deal with it first up. Faith works through love. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, teach us to pray, Jesus. Great scripture. And Jesus taught them over there in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And John also taught his disciples, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, it's a great passage for us to realize that the first reference is to our relationship with him. That, you know, child-father relationship. He is our Father and we should address him that way. Heavenly Father. You know, as the stark contrast of where Jesus brought a revelation of our father relationship, our child relationship with him. And hallowed is that Greek word hagazio, and it actually is a verb. It's a doing word. It's about sanctifying that name in our own lives, keeping his name holy, keeping his name separate. You know, and then it goes on, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. I love that part as well. That part is about the will of God being done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a truth that we can rest in. And of course, very important, it's our life aligning to his. God's will in heaven being done on earth is his will being done in our lives. And recognizing that there is a will in heaven that needs to be done on earth in our lives personally. And then he says, this part here, verse 3, is give us this day our daily bread. You know, God's provision is daily. God's faithfulness to us is daily. His care, his support for us is about today. It's about every day, but it's about today. It's a truth that we can rest in as well. And the best is the foundation of it all, God's love in us. And look what it says in verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. So, you know, we can say, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. We all need forgiveness from heaven, but we can first of all forgive others that have sinned against us. Think about the sensation of a particular guy that didn't like the way that I used my indicators down there in Perth. And you know what I had to do to get out of feeling the way I was feeling was to pray for him. To just say, Lord, I don't know who that guy is, but Lord, he's probably had a bad day. And I'm just going to release him and forgive him. And I pray that he forgives me and forgets about me and we just go on about our merry life. Amen? We need to pray for people that have sinned against us or we know that we've sinned against them in some way. Pray and ask for forgiveness. And we need to see this. If we're asking the Lord to forgive us, we must be willing to forgive those who have trespassed against us, first of all. And we need to see that we cannot deal with the unforgiveness unless we're willing to accept that we were offended as well. And the offence caused our unforgiveness. We need to be quick to recognise when offences come. The first person we should be honest with is ourselves. So if you know, say, oh, I'm not offended. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, that's the first thing we have to be honest about is if we are offended, you know. And that's what causes the unforgiveness. We've got to go back to that offence and go and forgive and let go. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a couple of minutes. It's the kingdom way. Hallelujah. I'm glad about that. Jesus taught forgiveness as a value above justice. Some people will say, oh, I want justice. I've been done wrong by. That's really where the conflict usually occurs, is in that I want justice thing. But the kingdom way is, well, just forgive. Just let it go. You know, you can pursue justice and you can have it out with someone, but the person must be forgiven. That's what's important. You must forgive. Matthew 18. And you can do that from afar. It's all right. It's dealing with the spiritual condition in your own life that you know, is dealing with trespasses. Treat the trespass. Treat the offence. And you'll be free. Very important. And if, you know, hopefully if there's a need to go into further conflict, you'll still be free. And you'll be able to talk about what happened and, you know, maybe conflict resolution if it needs to be there or you know, the justice side of it comes out. Fantastic. But forgiveness still needs to be in your heart and offence can't be there. Amen. If forgiveness is going to be there. Hallelujah. Matthew 18. Verse 21. And then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Phew. Up to seven times? Peter's going really, you know, he's being really long-suffering. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. In other words, keep on going, Peter. Seven's not enough. Just keep on going. And of course, the question is, has someone sinned against you? All of us should have our hands up, because at some point, at some time, someone must have come against us and sinned against us. So Jesus has a parable for all of us leading on from verse 22. And it's well worth just going into this and reading this. He says, because of this, the kingdom of heaven, now this is leading on from what that verse that we just saw with Peter. Because of this, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he began the settlements. A debtor was brought to him owing 10,000 talents. And since the man was unable to pay, the master ordered that he be sold to pay his debt, along with his wife and children and everything he owned. Pretty stark situation. And then the servant fell on his knees before him and had patience with me, he begged, I will pay back everything. And his master had compassion on him and forgave his debt and released him. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he grabbed him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe me. Can you see the picture here? This is like heaven. We owed something we couldn't pay to heaven. And what did God do? He forgave it. In Christ Jesus, we've been forgiven the debt that we owed. But how would it be if we then went out and found someone who owes us because, you know, they're indebted to us because they've sinned against us in some way, and we grab them by the choke and say, I'm not forgiving you. How would that be? This is what this parable is about. It's about being able to forgive from the heart, just like God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. Just read on. It says in verse 29, so his fellow servant fell down and begged him, have patience with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Now, it's a bit like, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where someone's offended you, upset you, and you have reason to, you know, have unforgiveness toward them, and they come and say, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't know that I'd done that to you. I didn't know that I'd hurt you. I didn't know that I did that against you. I didn't know. And you went, and walk away. Refuse the forgiveness. Refuse to actually extend grace toward them. Ever done that? I think I have to think back to my childhood, to be honest, when I remember when I was fighting with my brother and, you know, and things got out of hand and I hurt him and he hurt me, and then he felt sorry that he'd hurt me and then came to say, well, I'm sorry. And I went, no. You ever done that before? Certainly don't want to think about it. You've done it lately, all right, because it's probably feeling a little bit convicted about now because we're talking about these things. But now God wants to deal with our hearts. God wants us to be free from offense and unforgiveness. And then he goes on. And when his fellow servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and recounted all this to their master. And the master summoned him and declared, you wicked servant, I forgave all your debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant? Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? And in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should repay all that he owed. And look what Jesus teaches here. He says, now, that is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And that's the key, is the forgiveness from the heart. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because I tell you, that's when the feeling comes. When you forgive from the heart, the feeling comes. Hearts are where feelings come from, aren't they? When you forgive from the heart, truly, you'll feel the sensation of just being released from that and that feeling toward another person. Unforgiveness is a heart condition. And the truth we need to see is that God looks on the heart. When we come to God in prayer, holding an offense, maintaining the rage, unforgiveness disqualifies us from effective prayer. I don't know you, but I want to have an effective prayer life. I've found out that prayer changes things. And that, you know, if I'm going to pray effectively, I have to get rid of the unforgiveness and offenses that I'm holding. You know, Jesus didn't hang nailed on the cross saying, just you wait. I'll come back and I'll get you. It wasn't like that at all, was it? It was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's the heart of God. There's the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the kingdom, revenge doesn't fit. An eye for an eye is not the kingdom way. And of course, here Jesus gives the key to breaking free of unforgiveness and any wounds of offense. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 38 there, it says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn him the other also. And if a man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not away. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow, it's easy to read it. It's a little harder to do sometimes, isn't it? And I'm definitely sympathetic. But, you know, blessing someone who hurt you is the key. I'll say it again. Blessing someone who hurt you is the key to getting released from that offense, that hurt, that unforgiveness in your heart. Letting someone off the hook and not holding it against them. It's not when I get free of this offense, I will pray for them. It's no, bless them and pray for them is how you get free. You say, what about them? Well, look, God will deal with their hearts as well. As you get free, it catches. I was taught that if you will forgive by faith, the feeling will come. If you'll just forgive by faith, in other words, not really even feeling like you know, you should or you could or you want to, don't even, but just forgive by faith and the feeling will come. Someone said, fake it until you make it. But the thing is, once you actually do that from their heart, there's a freedom. Be a peacemaker. Amen? We're called to be peacemakers, aren't we? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. That's sons and daughters, if you haven't looked it up lately. Sons and daughters. The children of God are sons and daughters. And if you know our understanding of where sons and daughters sit in the scale of maturity, it's right up there. Because sons and daughters have their father's heart. Sons and daughters understand and know and see as the father sees. And we should just opt in to that approach to offences, unforgiveness, circumstances that we face. Sons and daughters of God operate at that mature level of letting go of offences, not holding on to bitterness or justifying unforgiveness. Amen. Who's in? Any sons and daughters want to stand to their feet and pray this morning? Why don't we do that? Why don't we all stand to our feet and pray and ask the Lord to maybe just do a little heart scan? You know how heart scans work? We can sort of see what's going on in there. Why don't we invite the Lord to do a little heart scan in our own lives this morning? And maybe there's a work that he needs to do in our hearts and our heart's condition. So, Father, we again thank you today. Thank you, Lord God. We just invite you now, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now just to come and look into our hearts and see, Lord. Lord, if there's any long-held offences, any long-held unforgiveness, Lord, we just bring it before you, Father, and ask, Lord, that you would deal with us about it. Lord, it's not until we lift it up and forgive and let go and release it, Father, that, Father, we can be free of it. So, Father, we all just acknowledge today, Lord God, if there is areas in our life, Lord, where we need to be set free, Father, that you would do it today. You would help us, Father, to overcome. We would think of that person, Father, even now as we pray, and we could think of that person or persons or whoever they are, that situation, Lord, and ask, Lord God, that we would just be able to forgive, Lord, that we'd be able to let go of the offense. Let it go. And Father, we thank you for the freedom that you bring by your Holy Spirit as we're able to do it. Whatever it was, Lord, we ask, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name, the little offenses. Father, your word says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is not easily offended, Father. Love is not easily offended. Father, we want to be those people that are not easily offended because we know that it leads to unforgiveness. And so, Father, we drop it like a hot rock today, Lord. We drop it like it's not something that we should have in our possession. We let go of it, Father, before you. We ask your blessing. We ask for your release right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen.